أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فأزلهم الشيطان عنها فأخرجهما مما كان فيه فقلنا اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو ولكم في الأرض مستقر ومتاع إلى حين.
Now, the enmity of Shaytan, the opposition of Shaytan to Adam alayhi salam, and he openly demonstrated his enmity, opposition, totally. And he was thinking a lot, pondering a lot. When he went to Jannah, and he saw the luxury of Adam alayhi salam, his ease and comforts and his paradise dwelling. He saw the freedom. He saw the ease, the beauty, wherever you want to go in paradise, go. And when he saw this enjoyment, relaxation, he became angry. He couldn't accept this. So this became his mission, that somehow or other, I need to get them out of paradise, heaven. Get them out of paradise. Not just them, but remember this point. Shaytan thought that this enmity of mine will also continue with the children of Adam. In other words, us. With us. From the beginning, his enmity is this, that if I can't stay in Jannah, he thought, if Jannah's been taken from me, all this relaxation and comfort, then I won't let them, Adam alayhi salam, or his children ever to come near to paradise. I will make them lose out forever. Remember this point. So our enmity, or the opposition, the enmity of Shaitan is with us. This is his mission, his objective, that somehow or other, I need to get them away from paradise. He's seen himself. He's seen the gardens and the beauty and the fascination. And he's aware. He has the knowledge that whoever from the children of Adam alayhi salam is successful will go into paradise, daimi, permanent, he will get that dwelling. So that's the mission that he started. That whatever happens, in however I can, but me, Shaitan said, I have to make them lose out from Jannah, miss out from paradise. This is the mission of Shaitan, and we need to be aware of this mission of Shaitan. Remember this. And when a person understands the plot of the enemy, then it's easier to tackle. And this is the style of the Quran, that clearly the Quran has explained to us that this is the scene, this is the game that's being played out. He wanted to get us out of Jannah. Yes, he wanted to do that. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِي, that get them out this way, and nor should these children dwell here or be happy here. This was his objective, his plot. Now, his enmity, this enmity, this specific opposition is existent until today with us. Remember this, that the dunya, this is not the place of enjoyment. How can it be? This world, this place, the world has been, Adam alayhi salam, his children have been sent as punishment to here. So that place which is in punishment, where a person is sent to as a form of punishment, then how can that place be good? Tell me. How can that place be good? How, if a person is imprisoned in a prison, even if you give him many things, give him air conditioning, give him a fridge freezer, give him other comforts and requirements, but a prisoner is a prisoner. He'll say, take all of this, but take me out of here. Give me freedom. I want to live in the free world. He'll say that, won't he? The prisoner. So this world, planet Earth, is not the place of enjoyment. Shaitan knows that this is not the place of enjoyment. Jannah is the place of enjoyment. That's the deception he's given to us, that no, the world is the place of enjoyment. So what's happened to us? That we have now considered and taken this world as the place of enjoyment. Just like a person who goes in jail, the prisoner, when he gets all the comforts, luxuries, no, this is the best place for me, this cell, I'm staying here, enjoy myself. But the prison cell is nothing. Is nothing. The reality is the world outside of the prison. The same way this world is nothing, totally zero. But Shaitan has decorated it for us, adorned it, made it glitter and glow. and he's happy, Shaitan, that person who's occupied in the world becomes worldly, material. Doesn't matter if he's got big houses, tall houses, palaces, mansions, nice cars, fast cars, several businesses, cash flow. Very good, carry on, the client of Shaitan. Because this place is not going to give anybody any benefit at all, ever. So the person, Shaitan says, what you think is big and massive, but compared to the hereafter, paradise, not even a dust particle is this world. Not even a dust particle. That just like we, foolish people, run after this dunya, but where we have to go, this world, the whole of this world isn't even equivalent to a dust particle of the hereafter. A dust particle. It cannot even be that we compare for a split second thereafter. Take all the palaces, luxuries of the world, amass them, subhanAllah, and they cannot even equate to the small atom particle in the wind, say subhanAllah, of Jannah, of paradise. So he has made us foolish, stupid people run after this world. This is a very important point, very important. So he doesn't go towards these people. He runs after those people who are those who desire to really go into paradise. With their amal salihat, with their righteous deeds. He runs after them, Shaitan. Even if they haven't got a house in this world, even if they haven't got a car to drive, even if they don't have food 2-3 times a day, chapatis, bread, less clothes, broken holes in their shoes, but Shaitan's after them. Because he knows that this is the most wealthy person. Because he knows when his eye closes, he will see the beautiful fascination of Jannah. And those people are opposite to him who are amassing wealth in this world. And those people, the people who don't care about that, are those who will go into the big house in paradise. And he, Shaitan, runs after them. He knows the worldly people, they're nothing. Those who are running after dunya, he doesn't care about them. He leaves them. But the fakirs, the pious people who are earning Jannah, he runs after them, plays games with them, and tries to trap them, deviate them, and spoil their amal, their deeds. And his full efforts is on these people. Remember this point. That the people who are close to Allah, who do righteous deeds, good deeds, who are pious, upright, on the straight path, Shaitan is the real enemy. We should be very careful about Shaitan. The friends of Allah, every second of their life, it is a clash with Shaitan and nafs. Because Shaitan comes with full force to those people who are doing good deeds, according to his mission, that get this person out of paradise. And these are the people who are going to paradise. These are the people who are going to paradise. These are the people who will go to paradise. They will get palaces, mansions, assets, whores, and beauty, and maidens, and servants, and their ranks will be high. Shaitan focuses on them 100%. These people. SubhanAllah. So this is a very important point to understand. If Allah gives tawfiq, the ability to do good deeds, righteous deeds, then very especially that person should be careful of Shaitan. Careful of Shaitan. So he said, now, how do I get Adam alayhi salam out of paradise? Which weapon shall I use? Which method? He was a Nabi, that it was impossible for him to commit a sin. A prophet cannot commit a sin. He is innocent, free from sin, and he had not done any sin. He did not commit any sin. Subhanallah, said that was just a slight forgetfulness, you could say. So Shaitan thought, what is it? What shall I do? Which weapon, what method shall I use to distract Adam alayhi salam? So he's expelled from heaven. And he knew, Shaitan, he himself, Shaitan, he had the knowledge. And he had gone through all of the issues. And he knew everything. That the reason due to which I was expelled, then only due to that they can come out of paradise. Because ibadah, that Allah Ta'ala won't expel them due to lack of ibadah, worship. Because I was a great worshipper. Hundreds of thousands of years Shaitan had worshipped and prostrated. Every action of worship he had implemented. SubhanAllah. So, despite having so many ibadat, worship, he was shoved out of paradise. So what we see is that Allah Ta'ala, in Allah Ta'ala's court, ibadah does not have value. Compared to what? If a person disobeys Allah. In other words, sin. So ibadat, worship, has no value if a person is sinning. So he was aware of this, Shaitan. He was aware. And this is another point that we need to hear. Listen carefully on this point. That a person cannot please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ibadat. with worship. Remember this. Doesn't matter how much worship you implement, Allah will only be pleased with the person at that time when the human being doesn't disobey Allah. When he doesn't commit what? A sin. A sin. Whatever Allah Ta'ala says, and if we don't obey that, that's a sin. So Allah's displeasure is earned when a person disobeys Allah, when he sins, when he doesn't listen to Allah. Then Allah's displeasure is earned. Even if that person, doesn't matter how many amal he does. Example of shaitan. Look how many deeds he had. How much he worshipped. How much he prayed. He was the teacher of the angels. But did it benefit him? No, because he disobeyed Allah's order. All his deeds were rejected. His worship was rejected. No worship deed had any value compared to the disobedience to Allah. Nothing. Now, further we see that he understood shaitan. He knew that somehow or other I need to entrap them. Entrap them. And so to make them disobey or not listen to Allah's decree. He knew that if my ibadah did not come in use, then compared to that, all of the rank, status and honor Allah has given and his ruh has been given to him and sujood and prostration. But all of this will fail if I make them commit a mistake. And this very big point, my friends, please understand this. Understand this. Today a servant, the creation of Allah, he is proud of his worship and his deeds. He emphasizes a lot on amal, practicing, worshipping, abundance of worship. Abundance of, we read this much Quran, read much this much hadith, this much Quran, this much worship, this much prayer. But this can only benefit at that time when an individual doesn't commit a sin. This is a massive lesson, a lesson of note. So what did he do? That he committed a sin. He disobeyed Allah. And for him it was a minor sin. All his ibadat rather weren't just rejected. He was expelled from paradise. Everything finished. So what did Adam alayhi salam do? That how Allah Ta'ala gave him respect and honor. But just a small mistake. Small, you could say, something forgotten. An oversight. And everything was taken away. So for you Sufis, for us as I requested here, that I'm not teaching you masail and fiqh and jurisprudence from the Quran, nor do we discuss technicalities or lengthy discussions. From the Quran, we need to learn a clear lesson. Rectification under the light and an angle of rectification. This is our mission of reading this Quran, discussing the Quran. So we can improve our lives, not fiqh and jurisprudence and technicalities. From these verses, we need to rectify ourselves, improve ourselves, take the proof and the guidance of Islam. That's proven from the Quran that we should do this or that action. So we see from the Quran what's proven here, that in reality, to please Allah, we have to not disobey Allah, not commit a sin. The pious predecessors have said that even if all lifelong a person doesn't do any voluntary actions, nafil, doesn't pray tahajjud, ishraq, chast, doesn't recite Quran all his life, but if he does no voluntary action, no extra optional action, just do faraid, the compulsory deeds, but don't commit any sins, and he with firmness, strictness doesn't commit sin, then nothing can stop him from Jannatul Firdaus. For him, Firdaus will be the consequence, the highest grade of Jannah, because he's attained his objective. Ibadat is not what Allah wants. Allah wants this, that do not disobey me, do not sin. This is today's lesson. Massive lesson. The Quran is given to us through this event. Do not sin. Compared to deeds. So take this point out of your minds. I'm a worshipper, I do this, I pray. Nafal, oh, sins are small. What difference does it make? Oh, it's only a small sin I did. It's alright, Allah will accept my deeds. It's only my beard I trimmed or shaved. It's only parda I don't do. I pray my salah, I pray tahajjud, and I do tasbih, says the sister. And I pray tahajjud in the night, and nawafil salah. My heart pains when I see a person like this reciting Quran, juz and bad stay, trim beard, small beard, his libas attire is totally immodest. Yani shaitan has bought that person, deviated that person. And the whole Quran is telling us this one point. Why don't we understand that the sin is what destroys a human being? Sin. Amal, deeds will not benefit us. Deeds, worship will not benefit us at all. At all. Islah, if you go to a friend of Allah with the intention of Islah, Kamil Sheikh, Kamil Wali, I'll tell you his sign. the sign of the camel teacher. As I requested, that we in this discussion, this bayan, this gathering majlis is looking at from the angle of islah, rectification, improvement, and this the Quran is telling us this clear point. Listen carefully what I'm saying. That when a human being goes to a sheikh for islah, just like with you, for example, you are all here listening, there are sisters, brothers, you're listening. Listen to this point. If you have come to listen with the objective of islah, rectification, to when you go to the friend of Allah, sheikh, when you go to his company, then the true Kamil Wali won't give you lengthy recitations and worship, lengthy nawafil procedures, wazaif and do this and that, lengthy salahs and lengthy isolation procedures. The Kamil Sheikh will never take you to the extreme worship. All of his emphasis will be on those actions that will attain Allah's pleasure. He will emphasize to you to leave the sins. And he will work hard on you so you don't disobey Allah. He will work hardest to take you away from sin. He will never say to you, the Shaykh, that worship. But people come, oh, can I keep the nafil fast? Can I fast on this day? Can I do this nafil? The friend of Allah knows that there's goodness in these actions. The Kamil Shaykh knows. But he knows that nothing will benefit the student because one sin will destroy him. Today he's kept fasts, tomorrow 10 fasts, this many fasts. But one sin will burn all of his deeds. So the Shaykh, the teacher works hard, struggles on his murids, on his students. He works so hard, extremely hard on this point. And remember this point, the Kamil Sheikh, the sign of the Wali Allah, Kamil Sheikh, is when he stops you from sins. When he warns you about sins, when he works hard on sins and warns you, and the Sheikh who directs you towards leaving the sins, then consider he is the true Kamil Wali, Kamil Wali. But today we don't see this. Oh, read this, recite this prayer, do this wasifa, this many tasbihs, this many nawafil salah, and the student is very happy. Oh, I'm praying and I'm doing zikr, and he's not given the knowledge that be careful with your tongue and eating and your stomach and what you're eating and what you're doing. Nothing at all. You know, just do wazifas and I'm successful. Now this is a magic. Allah Ta'ala has not sent us to this world for this. Allah Ta'ala says that were there few people around me who were worshipping me and glorifying me? Were the angels not present? Were there few angels who are not doing dhikr? Was there shaitan less in quantity who was not doing ibadah? Tell me. So where did his ibadah go? All his ibadah was rejected due to one disobedience. That's why everything Allah Ta'ala has prepared and given to us in this dunya is, Allah says, be careful about disobedience. On every footstep, there's an invitation to us to sin. When soon as you leave your house, your door, you go to the masjid, thousands of things on the way you'll see that invite you towards sin. And this is the massive achievement. That's what Allah loves, that you'll have all the glow and the luxuries and sin around you. You have to tread carefully and save your iman. Don't do this. When you go to the masjid from your home, to the marketplace, to the shop, don't do this, don't do A, don't do B, don't do C, don't do D. Thousands of restrictions, hurdles, barriers. Stop this, don't do this, don't think this, don't look at this. This is deen. This is Jannah. What do we do? Pray salah, go to pray salah, we'll do all the sins under the sun and then we'll go and prostrate in the masjid. When they were going to the Kaaba, Baytullah, to do tawaf, do all the sins on the way, backbiting, lying, and evil glances, looking wrong with the eyes, and then we go and do tawaf around the Kaaba. No, this is not deen. Allah says all the losses and negatives of the world are so that we can earn Jannah, paradise. That's why Allah Ta'ala has given to us all these hurdles and barriers. We have to save ourselves from this. And this is the greatest ibadah, worship, to leave the sin. Where will you get the practice from this? Where will you get the training of this? The explanation from the Kamil Sheikh, the true teacher, Wali Allah, who will work his hardest to explain to his students to leave the sins. Remember this. I remember that most of all, the ulema have pain when they hear this point. The ulema. To leave the sins, they have no desire or plan to leave the sins. No desire or plan. Their hadith, kitab, knowledge, they have under their armpit the knowledge, but they have no thought about sin, that save myself from the sin, I have to leave this sin, this hadith. Most of all, the grip, the biggest maqam rank in the hereafter will be who? The ulema, the scholars. And the most wretched who will be the ulema ikram, the scholars. Remember, the Quran teaches us this. The Quran, both extremes. Highest rank, scholars. But wretched and sin, due to scholars. Allah has praised the alim, the scholar who has fear of Allah in his heart. Alim, scholar, is he who has fear in his heart of Allah. He is the alim. Remember this. So khawf, what's fear? Fear defined is the person when he's sinning, he's afraid, scared. He's the alim. He will have the maqam. He's the deputy of the Prophet. He has the high rank in paradise and thereafter. You know, today we have the lines full of Just like mango sell in the market, today the scholars sell. It's become a profession. I tell you this, becoming a professional. Accountants are professionals, solicitors and doctors. Same way, this is also a profession now, to make money in the world. I tell you, reality. Reality. So high maqam is the alim, if he what? If he has khawf in his heart, khashiyat, fear, recognition of Allah, awareness. Yes, that's what the Quran says about the high rank of the ulama. The person who has khashiyat, fear of Allah, recognition. He is the alim, the trembling. One person came to us and most of all, I feel the pain. Trembling ulama, respectful scholars, honorable scholars, they come. And when they're told that this is the sheet, he will never accept the sheet system. Never. They don't see lying in their lives, they don't see backbiting in their lives, they don't see greed in their lives, they don't see, no, I don't need to do this. Until today, I've not seen an alim. Very few and far between, they clutch the sheet system, analysis system, the sin system. No, they have no recognition or awareness. One person came to me, I said to him, Hazrat, this is the sheet system. I spoke to him about the sheet system. And he said, what's this? For me? I said, this is a great system. A person saves himself from the sins, the lying, bad backbiting, bad use of the eyes. Do this sheet, implement this system. I said, this is a great gift Allah Ta'ala has given to us, this system. By the sadaqah of the slippers of my sheikh, I've got this system. And there's a brilliant miracle, this sheet system, how a person can do his tazkiyah, rectification, and save himself from the sins and do the goodness. And he said, very few will you see people, a sheikh, a teacher who has this system where he utilizes this method with students, just like here, where many sheikhs, and you can look around you. No one gives these murids this system. No, he took this point, he went outside, he made noise, clamor. He said to me, I have to follow the sheikh system of the greatest sheikh. What I do, no one does this. And I don't know what he announced, and he spread the wrong. Oh, he's put everyone underneath him. Ulama, he's got them on the sheikh system, put them underneath him, and he thinks he's a great sheikh. No one does what I'm doing. I never said this to him. I explained to him nicely the sheikh system and how he spread the false. He couldn't take it. Couldn't take it. So this isn't within us. Sin. Sin. The whole Quran is defining to us a shaytan. This was his objective. Yes, anha fa akhrajahuma mimma kana fi. What weapon method did he use to get Adam alayhi salam out of paradise? The weapon of disobedience. He was expelled himself due to disobedience. All his deeds were rejected, millions of deeds. And he conjured a plan, a trap to ensnare Adam alayhi salam so he could also come out of Jannah. Quran telling us clearly this event is not a story. Shaitan and Adam alayhi salam, Shaitan, Allah says, leave ibadah, too much ibadah, too much worship. Just complete the fard, but the real action you have to do in your whole life from A to Z is to leave the sins. Leave the sins. Emphasize on leave the sins. This is what you have to work hard on, Allah says. You understand what I'm saying, brothers? Do you understand? So, we also see another point in passing, whilst we're discussing, that leaving sins, there are two ways a person does sins. Remember this point as well. One is leaving sin. Leaving. You know when a person leaves the sin, that's temporary. Oh, I left lying, I've left backbiting, I've left this and that, and you're working hard on that. For example, he's working hard on backbiting, and he's working hard on leaving another sin. And remember, there are two paths to this journey. Listen carefully. Very precious point this is. That if we work hard on leaving the sins and the sin is left, then in reality that sin has not been lost forever. It will come again. The sin will come again. The sin is lost at that time. The sin is detached from at that time when you hate the sin. When you dislike the sin. If you don't have dislike of the sin or hate the sin, then consider the sin is not gone. It will come back. And this is what happens. Subhanallah. Backbiting, work a bit hard. After a few days, you've not done it, you left it. But until you do not dislike backbiting, until you don't hate lying, until you don't hate doing zina, until you don't dislike zina of the eyes and nonsense talk, you don't dislike it. Until that time, consider you've not left that sin. Sin will only be left at that time, shunned at that time, rejected at that time when you dislike that sin. Subhanallah. Abu Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah stated, may Allah Ta'ala elevate his status to the most highest. The such dislike to the sin, just like that stool and urine and toilet or a mouse or a rat, how you hate that? That music, singing, women, looking at women, you should dislike the action. Then when you dislike the action, hate it, then consider you've left that sin. For example, that you want to get rid of a person's company, someone who's against you or opposition to you. You want to detach yourself from him. But in your heart, if you have a little bit of love for him, still a bit left in your heart for that person, then you cannot detach yourself from that person. Have the experience in your life that love will still pull you to him. You'll go back to him. Little bit of love in your heart for that person, you go back to the person. But if in your heart you have dislike for that person, distaste for that person, distaste, then you will detach from that person and you'll never go back to that person. Clear? Agreed? Yes, so if a person has a little bit of love, little inkling of love in her heart, then you will never detach from that person because that love will force you again, pull you to that person. Ah, but if there's dislike for that person, or hatred, etc., opposition, then consider you will detach from the person, you'll never go. And that's the relationship with sin. If you do not have hate for the sin, if you don't dislike the sin, then you can't leave the sin. And how do we then create the opposition to sin? That's what the friends of Allah make us work on, the Kamil Sheikh. The complete Sheikh, he teaches us how to have dislike for sin. And leaving a sin is one thing, hating the sin is another. We need to create dislike, distaste for the sin. Not leaving the sin, we need to create dislike for the sin. And how do we create the hatred for the sin in our hearts? Tell me how? Subhanallah. How great are the walis of Allah, their teaching, their beautiful nur and points and light they teach us. Subhanallah. So how does a person develop hate for sin? To develop hate for sin will only be at that time when Allah and His Rasul, you bring their love into the heart, then the hatred for the sin will come. The day the love for Allah and His Rasul, Nabi Al-Karim's love comes into your heart, consider and accept, then that day the hatred, dislike for the sins will be there. These two things cannot live together in the heart. Either the love of the sins will be in the heart, or the love of Allah and His Rasul will be in the heart. Two things cannot be together. Those people who sin, they lie and claim that they love Allah and His Rasul. The question doesn't arise. Where there's love for Rasulullah and love of Allah Ta'ala in that heart, then never will that person love sin. He'll hate sin. The question doesn't arise that person will sin. These are two opposite things. That's why the friends of Allah, they work hardest, and they work hardest on the point that Rasulullah's sunnah and the dhikr of Allah, you should love them two things. That's why dhikr is done. Listen to the point of Hazrat Sahib rahmatullah, rather Allah Ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala elevate his rank to the highest. Hazrat Sahib used to say that if your dhikr, by doing your dhikr, you are disliking sins, hating the sins, if you're doing dhikr and your hate for the sins is increasing, your dislike for worldly things is increasing, then your dhikr is successful and you are successful because the love of Rasulullah has come into your heart to replace that. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah and His Rasul, the guarantee of their love is just one. Not you're seeing dreams and kashf and visions and miracles, karamat, you're starting to cry, and jazb and passion. This is not the sign of love. The sign of Allah and His Rasul in your love, for their love in the heart, is one sign, is that time, that Allah's love and Rasulullah's love, if it's in your heart, there's only one sign. That you should have dislike for the sins and dislike for the material and worldly things. Full stop. Tell me, how many people are in this state? How many people? And this, alhamdulillah, the Kamil Sheikh works hard on these points. Allah and His Rasulullah, their love, He brings that and develops that into the heart of the student. When they develop that, then they start hating the sins. And when they hate the sins, then they're successful. That's why Allah Ta'ala sent the walis of Allah to the world. They shun the sins, come to me. I said, I don't need your ibadah. You say, I don't need your tajud. I don't need your nafal, extra voluntary, supererogatory deeds. Allah says, without sins, come to me. Allah says, that's what I want. Subhanallah. And this is the first lesson of the Quran. Lesson number one of the Quran. Leave the sins. And Shaitan was aware of this. Very precious point I'm going through today. Very precious point. And here we need to listen that every salik, every murid, student, what should he do? So when the Shaykh works hard on the student should follow his guidelines. What kind of method is this? The student comes to the lesson for Islah. How can a Kamil Shaykh then accept that you're lying to the Shaykh? You are playing tricks with the Shaykh, trying to be cunning with the Shaykh, trying to play games with your same teacher, and you're saying to the teacher, I've come for Islah. What kind of game is this? What sort of Islah is this? This is just like, astaghfirullah, Rasulullah, that somebody went to him, or somebody went to a Nabi, a prophet, and he's lying at the same time, and in parallel he's a munafiq, he's a hypocrite, and he says, I love you, I want to be a believer as well. What sort of game is that? Islah, the meaning of rectification is that you want to leave the sins. Then how can you continue committing? You're sinning and you're hiding the sins, you think you are, and you're not telling your sheikh, and in your heart you've got the sins, and you're playing tricks with the sheikh, and you're earning the dunya, and you're lying, and you're saying we've come for Islah, sheikh. Then consider the shaitan, he has made you his solid client, permanent client. So Shaitan then thought that what weapon shall I utilize here for the sin to commit? It was Adam alayhi salam is a Nabi, he is innocent, he can't commit a sin. What shall I do to distract them so that they can leave that order of Allah and so that they can come out of paradise? So this point is very important, very ajeeb, unique plot he created. What did he do? How did he entrap, ensnare Adam alayhi salam? How did he get Adam alayhi salam out of paradise? Allahu Akbar. Allah's order that came at that time, فَأَخْرَجَهُمْ مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا. Come on, Adam, now you come down from that life of comfort and luxury. Come down from there, Allah said. Fall down, Allah said. So now we see what was their maqam before, the high status they had before, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave them a new direction. This is a warning for us, those angels who were prostrating, and Allah ta'ala, he allowed the spirit to be breathed into Adam alayhi salam. He had the attire of Jannah, living in paradise. Now Allah ta'ala says, come down from paradise, leave paradise, come out of paradise. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ. Comes in the verse that first Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, their nurani libas, their attire of light and nur that they had worn, and they had jannah libas, that you couldn't see their bodies, that libas started to come off, and all of their libas, their attires came off, their dress, that they became totally naked and they were in front of each other without the parda. This is the punishment, see. Ibn Ishaq has narrated that when Adam alayhi salam was ordered to come out of paradise, then Jibreel and Mikael came. First they took the crown off the head, then they opened the door, the closed room in which the libas was worn. That room was opened with their hands, and then they were made to be naked. And an Arabic language was taken from them, and a different language was taught to them. Now, Adam alayhi salam, this is his hal, his condition became like this, and he became a little bit afraid, and they started to run here and there. They were naked, and haya was removed, the shame was removed. And Allah Ta'ala continues, وَقُلْنَا بِتُوبَاتِكُمْ لِبَنَدُوا. And then Allah says that with the leaves of paradise, they started to cover their bodies. Somehow they wanted to cover their bodies and hide their shame. They couldn't see anything else apart from the branches or the leaves. And Ibn Hakim, this hadith, the Holy Prophet, the master of the two, stated that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he had long hair and he had tall height, and mashallah, he was tall. And when he started to run here and there, then his hair came stuck in the trees. Because he was tall height. When his hair got stuck in the trees, the branches, that the tree pulled on him. And how can the tree dare to pull on Adam alayhi salam? He said to the tree, leave me, leave my hair. And the tree was witness. He said, why should I leave you? I will not leave you. Allah is unhappy with you. Allahu Akbar. Understand the point. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He grabs somebody, when Allah gives somebody the heights and ranks, when he's an obedient servant of Allah and the maqam he's on the high rank, high status, Allah elevates that person when he's pious. But when a person becomes disobedient, when he sins, look. When he sins, when he disobeys Allah, then see how Allah treats that person. When he's obedient, the whole universe, nature, creation obey him, the flies obey him, the spider obeys him, the lion obeys him, the fish does dua for him in the seas, All the fish in the seas know the obedient servant of Allah. They pray for him. If any difficulty comes to him, they do istighfar for him. In the heavens, the angels do istighfar for the human being. But when a person becomes disobedient, the Nabi, look what happened. What will be our hal? Our conclusion. The tree said, I won't leave you. Who are you? You disobeyed Allah. Allahu Akbar. So when Adam alayhi salam, when he saw the state, how here and there they were running around, they're hiding their body with the leaves and trying to protect themselves. Then Allah Ta'ala said, Adam, I gave you paradise. I just told you to be careful of one thing, that I told you to stay away from this tree. Anyway, khair. Quite a lot of commentators have said this was the tree of injir, of the figs, of wheat, or of grapes, or of apple. But in reality, it was the tree of sin. Yes, it was just a sample, example. Yes, it was a one unique sample that every sin is like that tree that Allah Ta'ala told us to refrain from. In this world, every sin is like the tree of paradise that was the tree of sin. So whenever we go towards a sin, there's just like that tree that Allah Ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam to leave and stay away from. The same way we are also forbidden to go to the trees that are in this world. Don't go to this tree, don't go to that tree, don't go to that tree. Otherwise our consequences will be very severe. That's the objective of life. Allah made the tree a sample, an example of Allah's disobedience. Every sin is the form of that tree, as the appearance of that tree. Every sin is an example of that tree. That's it, simple. So Adam alayhi salam, when this occurred, when Allah said, Adam, I give you respect, honor, paradise, heaven, I said to you, just don't go near to this tree. Don't go near to this tree. I told you to refrain from that. He said, Allah Ta'ala has told us to refrain from, don't go towards alcohol, don't do zina, don't do fornication, don't take your clothes off, don't do zina. Oh, woman, don't leave the house, don't run after careers and jobs, don't run after strange men, go amongst strange men. No. But we don't accept these things today. Hear one thing. Allah Ta'ala one, and it was no rejection, just one slight wrong movement. Example, Adam, listen, I'm taking up paradise. We've got mounds and stacks of sins, A to Z, from morning till night. Then what will be the hal of ibadah? Is it going to be accepted? That do you do more ibadah than the angels? More than Adam alayhi salam? Do you have rank, status? Where will all your deeds and worship go? Where will it go? So much sin. I'm just trimming my beard this much. I'm just looking at the news on TV, nothing else. That's all I've got the TV for. Tell me, we have to see whatever Allah Ta'ala has told us to leave. That's it, leave. That's the standard of life, full stop. That's that. Don't go near to this tree. Allah says, don't go to this sin. Don't go near to this action. Don't say this, don't see this. That's it. Whichever action Allah defines, don't do it. When we do it, then consider we've gone to that tree, and then the consequence, Allah said, that's what happens. All honor will go. All respect will go. All the person, he will run around after money like dogs, like just to pass the time. Allah says that I sent you for a temporary time to this world, and that person has no status who disobeys Allah, man or woman. No status, no rank, nothing. Like dogs and cats are better than them. The animals become better than them. The sinful people. Practically Allah is telling us in the Quran, that was the status of a person who sins. Adam alayhi salam is the Nabi, and he was the example of this. That just on this one action, all I said to you, Allah says, is that don't go near to this tree. And you went near to the tree. Your clothes were taken off, the honor taken away, made naked and running after this leaves, distressed, worried, all paradise, nothing recognizing him. Again, then Adam alayhi salam eventually, he said, Ya Allah, reality, this is the situation. Listen carefully. What did Adam alayhi salam say? He said, Oh Rabb, I swear by your honor and your dignity. Adam alayhi salam is saying to Allah, Oh Allah, you gave me paradise, comfort, luxuries, everything. And you told me to leave this tree, stay away from the tree. And Adam alayhi salam said, Oh my Rabb, I swear by your honor, your dignity. And even in my mind, this could never come, this point that I swear that somebody could swear by your name and then lie. That zalim, shaitan, wretched, cursed shaitan, what did he do? This was his policy. He came that somehow I need to distract them, fall and slip. So what did he do? What did he prepare? He was the Nabi, Adam alayhi salam. He knew that he could not sin directly. A lengthy sin or wrong he cannot do. So such a tactic he presented, such a plot he presented, that he, in the name of Allah, distracted them. This, my brothers, let me tell you, this is a very unique point. The mu'min, his rank and status, always when he's deceived, he will be deceived in the name of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The mu'min's weak point always is Allah and his Rasul. Always when he's deceived, when people deceive the shaitan and nafs, that he knows that this person is not going to be trapped. So he starts saying in the name of Allah and his Rasul, and in my life this has happened not once, many times over. 2.5 years, a person, he came to me and presented to me himself as a Muslim with a beard, a imamah. 2.5, 3 years he came to my khanqah, did dhikr and recited the name of Allah and deceived me. Khair, deception. Allah knows, who's he going to deceive me? Allah's name, and he came, etc. Tell me, 2.5 years, apart from that, from amongst our people, I'm telling you a person who has no iman. Muslims, 2.5, 3 years, he deceived. Allahu, Allahu, Allah, Allah, dhikr, dhikr, deen. And we sell ourselves at the names of Allah. This is the quality of the mu'min, the rank of the mu'min. This is the quality of the mu'min, whoever you love, then due to him, you sell yourself at the hands of that love. So he knew that Adam alayhi salam's weak point was the love of Allah. Subhanallah. So he said, he swore in the name of Allah, he promised in the name of the lie, false promise, and he announced and said that, look, this will happen to you if you don't do this. And personally in my life, whenever anyone's deceived me, he said the name of Allah, and I'll come into deception, fall into the trap. With ease I get trapped. I tell you my weak point. With ease people trapped me for the sake of Allah's name. Various individuals came and they did this with me. Deceived or, you know, played the game and changed their parents, came to the khanqah, changed their ways. May Allah allow that. Now I don't know, and even now if this is happening with me, I don't know. But we sell ourselves. We fall into the trap. He did the same. He understood that Adam alayhi salam, I can't trap him in any other way. He can't control him. I'll say in the name of Allah and I'll lie to him and trap him. That's why lying is the biggest sin and the first sin due to which Adam alayhi salam was taken out of Jannah. So now you consider yourself, what is lying? What is lying? So for Islah, rectification, I'm speaking to my murids, my students, my brothers. Never think that a liar can be successful in this world. The worst individual, the worst sin is lying. Remember this, the worst sin is lying. It's such a bad sin that the start of when Adam alayhi salam, the deception, the trap that shaitan laid was what? Lying. He lied and swore in the name of Allah, he lied. To trap Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah. And he said that he lied to me. I could never imagine, Allah, that in your name somebody would trick me and commit fraud and lie. And this is what happens. The person thinks that, Yaar, in the name of Allah, he's deceiving. He's saying wrong. How can it be? He can't be. Adam alayhi salam, he said this, and this was a big message to his children, that beware, beware, never lie, never lie. Lying is the worst action. Hazrat Harith radiallahu anhu stated at the time of Hajj, the Holy Prophet said, I heard myself, he said that person who lies and makes a false promise, a promise on a lie, has made his abode in Jahannam. It cannot be, he will go to paradise. Hazrat Abi Bakra radiallahu ta'ala anha, subhanallah, this hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that the false testimony, false bearing witness is shirk, is lying, is shirk. Hazrat Khalil bin Malik said that Rasulullah said, this is shirk, it is equivalent to shirk. And then Rasulullah recited the Quran about lying, that how bad and severe sin is lying, and it's common amongst us today, common amongst us. The worst sin is lying, which is equivalent to shirk. Rasulullah said it is equivalent to shirk. As Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in hadith, this is a hadith of Rasulullah, that whoever says a lie, whoever speaks on behalf of a lie, false testimony, has made his abode in Jahannam. And due to that lie, a false promise, this is how dangerous is the sin of lying. That cities and towns become affected by the lie of one person. Cities and towns, as Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu stated in hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that a person can pray salah, keep fasts, and call himself a Muslim, but if he lies, then he is a pure munafiq, pure hypocrite. Totality of hypocrisy is in that person. This is the hadith of the Sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ, narrated. In Ahmad there's a hadith, as Abu Umama radiallahu anhu stated, that Rasulullah stated, the mu'min and lying are two opposite things. This is the meaning of this hadith. Mu'min, his character and life, it's impossible he will lie. It's not the quality of a mu'min to lie. He cannot lie at all, the mu'min. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu stated, in Ahmad this hadith is narrated, the Holy Prophet stated that when a man lies, then such a stink comes from his mouth that the angels of mercy run away for miles from his... From miles they run, the angels don't come near to that person. In this ajeeb, unique hadith in Hakim, has Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha stated about lying, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he who is our beloved, who is our beloved, our jan, our life, he stated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that lying... He had severe distaste and hatred for lying. Rasulullah ﷺ hated lying. So much he hated lying that if a person lied and the lie was proven that he had lied, the Rasulullah ﷺ would not meet that person. He would end his meetings with that person until he would not repent from that lying. So tell me today that if a person goes to a Shaykh for Islam and he lies and he hides the points, He plays games and tricks, what will be the hal of that person, the end point of that person? How will that person get, what will be the conclusion of that person? So lying, that was what Shaitan presented. Shaitan played the game. He said to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and he said, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam said, I couldn't imagine. And in one narration stated that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam also requested that Allah, that Hawa gave me this mashwara, consultation, Allahu Akbar, that I wasn't going to go to the tree, but Hawa, she gave me the mashura and I went on her advice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, okay, fair enough. So three punishments Allah gave to the woman. Yeah, we are all, the women folk, all daughters of Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. The punishment number one, that there will be severe difficulty at a certain stage, at the time of expectation and birth. So that's one punishment, one pain or test challenge. Every month, this is number two, every month they will have some difficulty, which is the menstrual cycle. Yes, the three difficulties due to distracting Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And here another lesson we need to take, point about the woman. Allah Ta'ala created the woman alongside man. Allah says that Allah has given her that she can power, that she convinces the man. Yes, because Hawa alayhi salam convinced her. He said, I don't want to go. And she gave mashwara. I said, okay, Shaitan has advised. What he's saying, maybe he's right. May not be that we get a loss by not going to this tree. You know, Shaitan said that this tree, forever and ever, he will give you life forever. If you don't go near to it, you will lose forever. So he made Hawa alayhi salam listen, and she made Hazrat Adam alayhi salam listen. So Allah has given that characteristic to women folk. Be careful about women. Be careful about women based on their mashwara, their advice. Think about the advice. That this is the weakness. No matter, the very quickly a man, he falls into the trap of the woman. Very quickly the woman, she overwhelms the mind and the thoughts of the man. Be careful. So the man, he has to be careful. Rasulullah advised, be careful in this regard. The woman, that she can convince a man very easily, any man, very easily, with her voice, with her advices, with her plan. So Rasulullah said, be careful with the plan of the woman. So here we need to be careful and cautious. Women folk as well, they shouldn't give wrong advice to the men. They convince the men. Aha, the convincing power they've been given, they should utilize it correctly. Give right advice to the men folk. You'll get thawab, oh women folk. Thawab, if you get the right advice. And you've got such powerful convincing power you've got, oh women folk, that the household, they can improve it to the heights if they use the right convincing power. But if they go into the wrong alley, then they can destroy the house. And this is due to the influence of shaitan. Same way the man, if he has good thoughts, then he will improve and absorb the good advice. So don't follow every advice of the woman. She'll take you towards haram or wrong actions or do wrong. What will happen to us for the children? You need to give this. Take interest for the children. What difference does it make? Take the loan. We'll repay tomorrow. We need to get a big house. We need to get the shops and businesses and getting this and buying this. They convince the men folk to do wrong. Be careful. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave the punishment to Adam alayhi salam, this punishment. These 2 points Allah ta'ala said, فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ, that you will now have to leave this abode of respect and dignity in paradise. So go down from here. Everything's been taken back from you. Everything has been taken away from you, and you are sent to the earth. And everyone was given the order, get out of it. Adam alayhi salam, Hawa alayhi salam, Shaitan, and the snake. Four things were expelled from paradise at that time. Next verse we'll see inshallah, that after coming to the world, what happened with Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Today's lesson, we have got today the biggest point and lesson, is sin. Leave the sins, save yourself from the sins. For your islah, go to a sheikh. For this reason, to do islah, rectification, improvement, what do we go for? Lengthy wazaif, worship, praying, no. What for dhikr, adhkar, alqab, title, all these dhikr, etc. we are told to do. So we start to hate sins. Not leave the sins, hate the sins. What's the sign of hating the sins? I've told you that Allah and His Rasul Sallam, their love should come ingrained into our hearts. If Allah and His Rasul Sallam's heart does not come into our heart, then we will not hate the sins, and we will repeatedly do the sins. And how does a person bring in the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallam into the heart? When a person goes to his sheikh and obeys his sheikh and does amal on the sheikh's advices, inshallah, Allah and His Rasul Sallam's love will come into the heart of the student. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you all also the tawfiq to do amal on this. Ameen.